Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castanini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. I think that this show is going to be something that most of you can relate to, and I think that's unfortunate, actually. I think that we're going to delve into a topic that hits home for, like I said, so many of you: betrayal. Because whether it's a friend, a family member, a loved one, a partner, or even in a workplace experience, betrayal is something that is so common to most people, and it can leave scars that feel impossible to heal. And as a psychologist, I hear so often that it just leaves scars, like I said, that just feel like they can't be healed for sometimes even decades. I just hear how much of an impact it has, to the point where people feel like they can't trust themselves, they can't trust other people. And sometimes people feel like they just can't move on from it. They're stuck. And so here's the good news. Healing is not only possible, but it's predictable. And so today I am thrilled for you listeners, because I'm joined by Dr. Debbie Silber. She is the founder of the Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute. She is a TEDx speaker, best-selling author, and one of the leading experts on betrayal and healing. We're talking about the science behind betrayal and why it's so different from other traumas, and how you can move from survival to a place of transformation and, yes, trust. You can trust again. So trust yourself, trust other people. So, you know, if you're out there listening and you've ever felt stuck, and, you know, you've asked yourself and you're wondering how to rebuild after someone completely shattered your trust, this episode is absolutely for you. So sit back, relax, and I really want you to listen to everything she has to say, because there's a lot of wonderful information here she's going to share with us. All right. Well, Dr. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. I cannot tell you how many people I work with that have some sort of trauma, but not just trauma, but betrayal. And so I'm so excited to talk to you, because I think there's so many people who are going to tune in and just want to like hear every word you have to say. So, and I haven't had a topic on this on the podcast. So, who better to talk to about it than you? So I'd love to just get a little bit of background. Like, I know you studied this in your graduate studies, but and you experienced some of this yourself, but, you know, what are you willing to share, I guess, with the audience, just so they get to know you, for those of you who don't, for those people who don't know you, just a little bit about how you got to studying betrayal and how this became something that you're more of an expert on.
Sure. I mean, you don't study a topic like betrayal unless you have to, let's be honest. So I'm in business 33 years, health, mindset, personal development. And then I had a really painful betrayal from my family. And then I thought I did everything I needed to do to heal from that. And then it happened again a few years later. This time it was my husband. So that was the deal breaker. Got him out of the house, looked at the two experiences thinking, well, what's similar to these two? Of course, me, but what else? And I realized, you know, I never really took my needs seriously. Boundaries were always getting crossed. And I'm one of those people that has to sort of learn my way through things. So there wasn't a book, there wasn't a program, there wasn't really anything I could find. So here I was, four kids, six dogs, a business, and I decided to enroll in a PhD program to study betrayal at the PhD level. And while I was there, I did a study. Study betrayal. And honestly, I was just looking to heal, just so I can be there for my kids and my clients. And That study led to three groundbreaking discoveries, which changed my health, my family, my work, my life.
Awesome. So could you tell us about what the three groundbreaking discoveries were?
Yeah, sure. So I had a feeling that I knew that betrayal felt different than other traumas, but I didn't know if it was the same for everyone else. Like, I had been through death of a loved one. I'd been through disease, but I was like, betrayal feels different. Is it the same for everybody or is it different? So I asked all my study participants, if you've been through other traumas besides betrayal, does it feel different for you? Unanimously, they said it's so different. And here's why. Because it feels so intentional, we take it so personally. So the entire self gets shattered. Rejection, abandonment, belonging, confidence, worthiness, trust, right? Like when you lose someone you love, you grieve, you're sad, you mourn the loss, life will never be the same. But you don't question the relationship. You don't question your ability to trust. You don't question your sanity. With betrayal, you do. So that betrayal is a different type of trauma that needs its own way to heal was the first discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that's very interesting because, and I want to get into this a little bit more later because I want to hear the other two, but you know, like I said, I want to get into this more later because I find that so many people are stuck with that. And they can't let go. So maybe we could, like I said, delve into that a little bit more too, because I think that's the intentional part is the lack of ability to trust going forward after a betrayal. So, and then what were the other two discoveries?
Yeah, sure. And that's why I wrote the book Trust Again, because it's true. Trust is shattered. And we don't trust, of course, the person who betrayed us, and then we don't trust ourselves. So then the next thing is, well, if we don't trust the person we trusted the most and we don't trust ourselves, how can I trust in anything or anyone? So it is so far reaching, but you can clean up all of it. That's the good news. The second discovery was there's actually a collection of symptoms, physical, mental, and emotional, so common to betrayal. It's now known as post-betrayal syndrome. And we've had about, at least I think at this point, 100,000 people or so take our post-betrayal syndrome quiz to see to what extent they're struggling. And a few things about that. You know, we've all heard time heals all wounds, right? I have the proof that when it comes to betrayal, that's not true. You can't count on time. You can't even count on a new relationship to heal it until and unless you deliberately and intentionally heal it. It will follow you around in your health, in your work, in your relationships. And every few months I pull the stats from the quiz, happy to share them if you'd like to, if that
would. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, because that would be really uncomfortable if you said no.
Okay.
Okay, so now imagine over 100,000 people, men, women, just about every country's represented. Now, as much as you're gonna hear the symptoms, pay attention to the numbers. So 78% constantly revisit their experience. 81% feel a loss of personal power. 80% are hypervigilant. 94% deal with painful triggers. These are the most common physical symptoms. I'm sure so many of your patients are coming in with these symptoms. 71% have low energy. 68% have sleep issues. 63% have extreme fatigue. So they wake up, they're exhausted. 47% have weight changes. So in the beginning, they can't hold food down. Later on, they're emotionally eating, using food for comfort. 45% have a digestive issue. And that could be anything. Crohn's, IBS, diverticulitis, constipation, diarrhea. The most common mental symptoms, 78% are overwhelmed. 70% are walking around in a state of disbelief. 64% are in shock. 62% can't concentrate. So imagine you can't concentrate. You're exhausted. You have a gut issue. You still have to feed your kids. You know, you still have to go to work. That's not even the emotional ones. Emotionally, 88% experience extreme sadness. 83% are very angry. And, you know, I mean, you could bounce back and forth between those two all day long. Just a few more. 84% have an inability to trust. And that just 67% are preventing themselves from forming deep relationships because they're afraid of being hurt again. 82% find it hard to move forward. 90% want to move forward, but they don't know how.
Staggering. I mean, that's big numbers. So thank you for sharing those. And I'm sure people listening are going, yeah, that's me.
And you know what's even crazier about that? You didn't hear me say 20%, 30%. These numbers are super high. They're also not representative of a recent betrayal. This could be from the parent who did something awful when you were a kid. Like, this could be from that partner who broke your heart in high school. So think about this. That person may not know, care, remember. They may not even be alive. And here we are, decades later, with these symptoms because of something left unhealed. The good news is you could heal from all of it, which was the third discovery.
Well, that's the best discovery, I think, hearing all
and
this.
That's why I saved it for last.
So, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like, I believe, obviously, I'm a psychologist, yeah. And so I do believe people can change and have a better life. But maybe someone listening going, how do I trust again? How do I get past this? Maybe it has been 20, 30 years. I still don't trust. I still can't move on. So, you know, maybe you could talk to somebody who's listening going, okay, how do I get past this? How do I finally move on? How do I finally trust myself to make the right decisions? How do I trust somebody else? How do I let somebody in?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all about the third discovery, which was the most exciting. And what we learned was, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, as many people do, if we're going to fully heal, and by fully heal, I mean those symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome that I just shared, to that completely rebuilt place now called post-betrayal transformation, we're going to move through 5 proven, predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally at each stage, and we know what it takes to move from one stage to the next. So healing is entirely predictable. And happy to share the stages if you want to hear them.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Absolutely. So they're all, this is all we do within the PBT Institute. It's what all of our coaches are certified in, but I'm going to give you a boiled down version. So stage one is before it happens. And if you can imagine 4 legs of a table, the 4 legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. What I saw with all my participants, me too, was a heavy lean on the physical and mental thinking and doing. We're so good at that, right? And ignoring or neglecting the emotional and the spiritual feeling and being. Well, if a table only has 2 legs, it's easy for that table to topple over. That's us. Stage 2, shock, trauma, D-Day, discovery day. This is the scariest of all of the stages.
Okay.
And this is the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. So we've just ignited the stress response. We are now headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease.
Wow.
Yeah. Our mind is in a state of overwhelm and chaos. We cannot wrap our mind around what we just learned. This makes no sense. And our worldview has just been shattered. You know, our worldview is our mental model. Like, these are the rules. Don't go there. Trust this person.
Right.
And in one earth-shattering moment or series of moments, every rule we've been holding on to is no longer. The bottom has bottomed out, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. It's terrifying. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, what would you do? You'd grab hold of anything you could or anyone you could in order to stay safe and stay alive. And that's stage 3. Survival instincts emerge. This is the most practical out of all of the stages. If you can't help me, get out of my way. How do I survive this experience? Where do I go? Who can I trust? Here's the trap, though. Stage 3, by far, is the most common place we get stuck. And here's why. Once we've figured out how to survive our experience, because it feels so much better than the shock and trauma we just came from, we think it's good. And because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we don't know there's a stage 4 or stage 5. We just kind of plant roots here. We're not supposed to. But we don't know that. And four things happen. The first thing is we start getting these small self benefits. We get to be right. We like being right. We get our story. We love our story. We get sympathy from everyone we share our story with. And on some level, that feels better than what we've been getting. Mm-hmm. So we plant deeper roots. And now because we're here longer than we should be, now the mind starts doing things like, maybe you're not all that great. Maybe you deserved it. Maybe this, maybe that. So we plant deeper roots. And now, because these are the thoughts we're thinking, well, this is the energy we start putting out. And like energy attracts like energy. So now we start attracting people and circumstances and relationships to confirm this is where we belong. It gets worse, but I'll get you out of here. And now think about this. Now we have symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome. We're miserable. We join, let's say, some lame support group, and where everyone is just commiserating and complaining, and now we found our people. So we will actually sabotage our healing because we're afraid to outgrow our people. Here's where we may be healing, but we will sabotage our healing because we're afraid to outgrow our betrayer. Here's where we go to therapy, the most well-meaning therapist, but if they're not highly skilled in betrayal, what they're actually doing is gluing someone to stage three, because that person is feeling heard and validated and understood. But if they're not any closer to moving to stage four, it's rooting them into this one spot. And now, because we're so miserable and we're so stuck and we're suppressing and medicating symptoms and we don't see a way out of this, we start numbing, avoiding, distracting. So here's where we're using food, drugs, alcohol, whatever. And think about it. We do it for a day, a week, a month. Now it's a habit, a year, 10 years, 20 years. So I can see someone 20 years later and say, that emotional eating you're doing, do you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? And they'd look at me like I'm crazy. They said, it happened 20 years ago. All they did was put themselves in stage three and stayed there. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, I see that. Yeah. My practice every day, for sure. Yeah.
Those are your people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And they're living in they're living a stage three life. And really they're spending their time surviving,
mm-hmm.
right? Medicating, suppressing, getting through the day, not healing at all. And that's that to me, that's the worst part of it. It's like, you owe it to yourself to have that transformation. The worst of it happened already. What in the world are you doing sitting there in stage three? So anyway, if you need to grieve, mourn the loss, do a bunch of things, you can move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. So here's where you acknowledge, I can't undo what happened, but I control what I do with it. Right there in that decision, you're turning down the stress response. You're not healing just yet, but at least you stop the massive damage that was being created in stages two and stage three. Stage four feels like if you've ever moved to a new house, office, condo, whatever, all your stuff's not there. It's not quite cozy yet, but it's this like hopeful excitement. Like, yeah, we can do this. It feels like that. But when you do move, think about it. You don't take everything with you. Right? You don't take the things that don't represent who you're ready to become in that new space. And what I found was there's this one spot as people move from stage three to stage four. If your friends weren't there for you, you don't take them with you. That lame support group, you're done. That betrayer who's not changing, you're done. So it's this weird space where people say, you know, they ask me all the time, Tetra Debbie, what the heck? I've had these friends 10, 20, 30 years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're undergoing a transformation. Mm-hmm. And if they don't rise, they don't come. And when you've settled into this space, you've made it cozy, you've made it kind of mentally home, you move into the fifth most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, eating well, exercise. You didn't have the bandwidth for that earlier. Now you do. The mind is healing. New rules, new boundaries, new, you know, everything based on who you're becoming. And you have a new worldview based on everything you see so clearly now. And the four legs of that table, in the beginning, it was all about physical and mental. By this point, we're solidly grounded. because we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the five stages.
Fantastic. No, that's great. No, as I'm listening, I'm going, oh my gosh, I always say, like, well, with the people I work with anyways, like, it's about the food, but it has nothing to do with the food, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what's underneath all of that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The food plays an important role though, because it's distancing them and distracting them from the pain. And there were actually three groups in the study who did not heal. One was the group that they were just holding on to their story for dear life. They couldn't imagine life without that story. They didn't heal. The second group, this was the group where they were numbing, avoiding, distracting. Ran to the doctor who put them on a mood stabilizer, anti-anxiety medication, emotionally eating, drinking. It may have made the day a bit easier to get through. Not without a price. They didn't heal. The third group, this was the group where the betrayer had very little consequences. So whether it was out of financial fear, not wanting to break up a family, religious reasons, that was a big one. Mm-hmm. They just tried to, you know, look beyond it or whatever. And I saw two things with this group. Number one, a further deterioration of the relationship. And two, this group by far was the most physically sick. Yeah.
Now, was that because they were still stuck in it with the betrayer?
Yeah, your broken heart can't handle that. You know, people are so afraid of the death of the old, but that's the only way you birth the new. And just to close the loop on my story, rebuilding is always a choice. Whether you rebuild yourself and move along, that's what I did with my family. They weren't, nothing was changing, so it was for me to just rebuild myself and move along. And with my husband, after we both completely crashed and burned as two completely transformed people, not long ago, we married each other again. New rings, new vows, new dress, and our four kids as our bridal party. You know, betrayal will show you who someone truly is. It also has the opportunity to wake them up to who they temporarily became. Not that you have to do anything with it, but there's tremendous potential there for that 2.0 relationship if you choose.
So, you know, going back to that one group that you talked about that didn't move on, I mean, is it a reality that some people cannot get out of the situations they're in for whatever reason, financial reasons, maybe there is cultural reasons where, you know, if there's, you know, they might be blackballed if they do leave a spouse or a situation, or, you know, maybe they do feel like I can't change certain things.
You know, it's not for me to judge the reason why someone stays or someone isn't. I do find we can justify just about everything. And if we take a look, and if you look at the reason why, very often it's fear. If it, you know, and here's a question, if I weren't afraid, I would. So I invited anybody who's thinking, well, I can't because, well, just follow it up with, if I wasn't afraid, I would. And if the answer is I'd leave, then it's a fear thing, not a reason, not, you know, not something that you can't control, but we can justify everything. But then again, it's not for me to say, what's a reason, a valid reason, and what's not.
Do you think people don't realize they're stuck?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. They don't. Because especially if the betrayal happened a long time ago. Like, for example, if you have repeat betrayals, the faces change, but it's the same thing, or it's a repeat betrayal with the same person. That is a classic sign of an unhealed betrayal. And what happens is the longer we're in stage three, the more we just justify, well, that's just who I am. That's where I'm supposed to be. This is my lot in life. That's it. Let me just get through my day. It's so much better. Like, we see it all the time. When people are in stages four and five, I'll see new levels of health, new businesses, new relationships, entirely new, with, you know, with the person who hurt them on a very different level, or with someone totally new. You don't have access to that when you're in stage three. It comes when you move past the trauma and you move into stages 4 and 5. It's a really exciting time.
So, you know, a question I always get from people, and I have my own answers, but I'd like to hear yours. People say, how long does this take? Right.
And it's a very common question. It has more to do with willingness than time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are so stuck in the story, if you're clinging so tightly to the problem, you could be there forever. And then there were those people who were like when people, we have our 3-month program and they do a tremendous amount within 3 months to move through the stages, because it's a roadmap. It's like, you just do all the stage 3 things, let's say, until you get to stage 4, you do all the stage 4, 7 until you get to stage 5. But when people are signing up to work with me in our Transform program, they're committing to moving through all 5 stages within 6 months. So it's very doable. It's just a matter of like speed and intention.
Okay.
I mean, you have to move through. It depends. If you're like, if your betrayal happened today, you need to move through a significant amount of trauma and clean up, you know, a lot of stuff and belief systems and so much. There's so much to do physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, but it has more to do with willingness than time.
So, I mean, this is another question too, is a lot of times people might be stuck in that it is my fault, like I caused this, and I don't know how much of that plays into it too, versus like, was I really betrayed, or was this my fault? Because I know a lot of times people will come to me, and you know, I know the word's being used a lot more now these days about like, I went with a narcissist, right? Like they're gaslighting me, you know, they're kind of turning it around and saying it's your fault, you took this, like you're quote unquote crazy. And a lot of people are really grappling with that. If they, you know, like, wait, is this really happening? They're questioning what just happened. And then they kind of walk away feeling like, wait, it was my fault.
Yeah. So you are never, never responsible for someone else's betraying. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever is it your fault when someone chooses to betray. That's their action that they took. They made those decisions. And the responsibility on your part is to say, what boundaries did you let, you know, get crossed? What needs were unmet? You know, how did you not speak up? You want to look to yourself to see, where was I not showing up, expressing what I needed and whatever? But to accept blame for someone else's actions? No, no, no. That's what the gaslighter narcissist wants to do, because the only way they can maintain that relationship is when they keep you off kilter. Think about it. If you understand this person is just choosing to betray, and it's even though it's being done to me, it has nothing to do with me. And you start, you know, your confidence improves and your self-worth, and you realize it has nothing to do with you, they're in trouble. You see? So it only works when you question your own worth. And it has you questioning things. That's what they need. That's the only way it works.
I think that's the biggest hurdle I find for lots of people, is saying, well, how am I going to trust myself moving forward to know, because I didn't see it in the beginning, you know, or I didn't see it, you know, and a lot of people say, well, I think I'm a pretty smart person. You know, how did I end up in this? How am I not going to end up in that again? Especially if there was like the love bombing in the beginning where it feels so good. And it, you know, do you work through that with people in the program too?
Oh, absolutely. Because it's so common. But what also happens is when you're moving through the stages, your BS meter is so sharpened and so strong, you sniff that out a mile away, and you actually don't attract that level again. You're different. You're different. Real transformation is very different, because you're just deliberately and intentionally recreating yourself. You're taking all the parts you love. You're leaving behind everything that no longer serves. So you've outmatched someone where that's their behavior. It can't work with someone like you when you've moved through the stages.
Okay. And, you know, I have heard your TED talk before, and you did talk about how this doesn't just affect romantic relationships, right? This affects like business relationships, like all areas of your life. So maybe we touch base about that a little bit too.
Yeah, sure. So betrayal is a breaking of a spoken or unspoken rule, and every relationship has those rules. So this is where someone without your awareness or consent broke those rules. So it could be your siblings. One day we'll be there for mom and dad when they're older. Okay, the day comes, where are they? It could be, you know, you're in partnership, in a business partnership, and someone, you know, takes the company funds. It could be your best friend sharing your deepest secret. Mm-hmm. It's anything like that. But the ones that hurt us the most, I'd say break us, we're never broken, bent, are the family members and the partners. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that really get us.
Mm-hmm. And then if that trust is broken, like in any relationship, do you find that people just can't trust, like, in all areas of their life after? Like, it just affects everything?
It definitely affects everything. I do not believe trust can be repaired, but it can be rebuilt. And here's a way to look at it. I look at trust as a brick wall. Every opportunity someone has to show that they're trustworthy, that's one brick in that brick wall. So it could really take years to build, right? And then in that one earth-shattering moment, the entire brick wall can come tumbling down. Well, you can look at the rubble of bricks and say, I don't have the least bit of interest in watching that thing get rebuilt. Totally fine. Walk away. Mm. However, if you choose to watch that brick wall be rebuilt, that would be your only job. The betrayer's job would be to rebuild it one brick at a time, the same way they did the first time. And they have to be a really good bricklayer. But what I see so often is the brick wall is there. The betrayer shatters the brick wall. They don't really have much of an interest in rebuilding it. So the betrayed says, fine, I'll build it. No, that's not their job. That's why they never feel safe. That's why they don't trust. It's not their role. That's not their job.
Okay. One last final question. So if anyone's listening and saying, I'm really not through this, I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. Should they, I don't like the word should, but is it a good time for them to try to get into other relationships until they are transformed? Or do you advocate for people to work through and get to the transformation stage before they enter into, say, another relationship?
100%. Because if you enter into a relationship, let's say you're in stage 3, it will be more of the same. Mm. And then if you do the growth, then what you'll do is you'll just sabotage the relationship. You'll sabotage your healing because you don't want to outgrow that person. Or you're in this relationship and then you grow and then it just wouldn't be a match. So what I found hundreds of times already, you're so much better off taking that time, energy, effort, attention to get yourself through the stages, because then who you'll meet once you're there will blow your mind.
Absolutely. Great. Okay. So if people listening saying, okay, I want to work with Dr. Debbie, or maybe if there's therapists out there who want to get certified to be able to help people, both, how can people find you, work with you?
Yeah. So everything is at the PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com. And, you know, people can enter into our Reclaim program. They work with all of our certified coaches, me on a group call, our signature program, which literally moves them through the stages. We have so much going on there. Everything the research proved works is in there. And we have our certification. So for doctors, coaches, healers, therapists, to understand the 5 stages so they could have deeper transformations with their clients and patients, we have our certification programs as well.
Fantastic. This is awesome. Thank you so much. Any last final words before we end?
Yeah, you know, I know how painful it is, and I know how good it feels to be in stage 5. I didn't do anything anyone else couldn't do. You owe it to yourself to move through the stages so you can enjoy that renewed, healed, whole, healthy, confident version of you that is waiting for you in stage 5.
I do. I think that when you've been through it yourself, it speaks volumes and it is giving people so much more hope. So thank you for sharing all of this. And you know, because you've been through it yourself, you know it worked. So thank you so very much.
Thank you. And all of our coaches have been through it too. So
okay, great. All right. Well, everybody go to Dr. Debbie's website. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation. Thank you.